ability to do it. And I thank you, Father God, for the promises that are associated with it and behind it. And I thank you we get to be partakers of it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I didn't know they was going to sing that, but God did. Amen. That's good. Me and Chelsea, we're going to actually do this together for a little bit, kind of tag team it for a little bit. But amen. Amen. I don't know what I say now. Well, I've read a text. Oh yeah, tag teaming. Oh, because of the song. That's why. Amen. So if you came here and you needed healing, I mean, from the get go, my expectors would have been on. I said, from the get-go, my expectors would have been on. Amen. Turn over to Genesis 20, please. Genesis 20, we'll read about verse 17. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and we thank you for your word this evening. Holy Ghost, sir, we ask you to unveil and reveal truths to us this evening. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. I thank you, Father God, that this word will come forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside force. And I thank you, Father God, that we take authority over every distraction right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that everybody will stay focused and hooked up in faith. And their expectors will stay hooked up, turned on, and they will continually pull on the gift that's on the inside, that you placed on the inside of not only me, but also Pastor Chelsea. Bringing forth truths that not even we have heard this evening. And I thank you, Father God, that each and every one of us will get what we are expecting this evening. I said each and every one of us will get what we are expecting this evening. And everybody in agreement said amen.
Amen.
So Abraham whined to God, and God healed him. So Abraham prayed to God, and God said, well, I don't know yet. Let me think about it for a little bit. Let me go consult with a few people. What'd he say? Amen. Is anybody else here?
Yes.
All right. Amen. It's just making sure. So what did Abraham do? Who did he pray to?
God.
Okay. What did he pray to God? To heal who? Amen. And his wife. And his maidservants, right? That they would do what? That they'd have kids, right? Amen. And then verse 18, for the Lord had fast closed up all in all their wounds and all that because of Abraham's wife. But we notice that Abraham prayed unto God to heal them, didn't he? That's somebody. Was Abraham a preacher? Was he a prophet? Was he an apostle? Was he an evangelist? Was he a part of the fivefold ministry? Okay, go over to Exodus 15 real fast. Exodus 15, verse 25 says, "And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he provided them." Right? Amen. "And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of your neighbors, if you'll diligently hearken unto the voice of Google, unto the voice of your doctor," but that's what a lot of people do. They'll go by more what a doctor says than what the Word of God says. Amen. Don't get me wrong, it's good to go to doctors if you need them. I said it's good to go to doctors if you need them. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. Get in the Word of God and see what God says about it. Don't just take the advice of a doctor. Amen. Take the advice of God. What did He say about the ailment or whatever's going on in your body? What did God say about it? Amen. That's the final analogy that we need to be going off of. Why would I just stop at a human, an advice from a human? He's went to college. Who cares? I could care less if you went to college to learn this. Number one, you're practicing it. I could go to college if I wanted to. I really could. Any one of y'all could go to college. Well, I'm not that smart. Just go to college. It doesn't say you have to finish in 3-5 years. Take as long as you want. Is there a time limit on it? So why would... Never mind. Amen. "Diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right sometimes." Amen. Yep. "And will do that which is right in the sight, and will give ear." Huh. Give ear. We need to pay definitely attention to that. Because we give our ear to too many things a lot of times. And then we're over there wondering about, well, what happened? Well, where's your ear at? You know, it's funny. If we'll just start asking ourselves these questions, we'll find the answer. You know, a lot of times, there's quite a few times I'll be like, you know what, I'm going to ask Dad this. And then the Holy Ghost will tell me something. I'll be like, ooh, I ain't asking. Nope, ain't going to ask. Because He'll tell me the answer right away. As long as I just keep asking Him, He just lets me know the answer right away. And then I know, because He tells me the answer, I'll be like, I'm glad I didn't ask. Because that was too easy. Not only that, I'd have just kind of sounded dumb asking that the way I would have asked it. To me, it sounded dumb. Because after He answered me, I was like, wow, that was kind of dumb, Ricky. I know y'all ain't never been there, but that's all right. So who are we giving our ear to? We need to ask ourselves that. Amen? And what are we giving our ear to? Who and what? What's got our ear? Amen. "To His commandments and keep all His statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I..." Hallelujah. See, that answers every question that we would ever have. Number one, they didn't know there was a devil back then. That's why they thought that God, you know, put sicknesses on people or took it off of them, right? That's why it says, you know, He'll put it on you or not, right? But we know it was Satan. There's the curse or the blessing, right? Yes. But right here, it says, I am the Lord that what? Sometimes. That's how we act. That's how we act. Some of us. That's how we act. Well, I don't know if he will heal this. Who said? Who said he won't heal that? Who said he won't do that? Who are we getting our advice from now? So now we got to figure out who we've been talking to all over again. Now we got to start right back at ground zero. Amen. Y'all okay? We're going to get there. Amen. We are moving along. Amen. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. That should answer every question that we ever have about healing. He says, look, you keep my commandments. I'm God. I am the Lord that heals thee. That's who I am. And then look at the Egyptians. Look at them. They say there was over, 2 or 3 million, I think. And whenever they left Egypt, how many was sick or feeble among them? Go read in Psalms. I think it's Psalms 105 or 103, somewhere in there. Not one feeble among them. Take 2 or 3 million people right now. How many you think will be feeble among you? But yet then, how many was there? See, that's who God is. And somewhere along the way, we forgot how to see that. We don't know. We forgot that God is the one that heals thee. And so we lost sight of that and go, well, if it's your will now. But yet they knew, God, you're the one that heals me. Let's go. You said you'll take sickness away from the midst of me. They held him at his word. Amen. I want y'all to listen to something real fast. It's from Brother Hagin, obviously. You got the handheld? It's going to be a few minutes long. Nobody worry. That was just Marguerite's phone. We're actually the message that is this going to mess up while I have this on? Is it all right? We'll find out. That I like the way you think. That's why I like you. We're talking about praying for each other. That's what we're going to be looking at different scriptures talking about that. That's why I read the first couple here for a second. Because we don't need to be pastors, preachers, evangelists. You don't have to have a call. You could be the janitor. You could be just somebody that shows up at church. Because here you'll hear this from Brother Hagin talking about there's three people that he met that had more of a healing anointing than any minister in their area. And they didn't have a call one on their life. Very interesting. Very interesting. Look, we're telling y'all this for a reason. Okay, now listen. Because there's a good chance we might be praying for people here in a little bit.
Amen. I've run across in my time three different laymen that had a very outstanding healing ministry. I mean greater than any other preacher in their part of the country or any pastor. And yet they never preached a sermon. One of them didn't teach a Sunday school class. And I talked to each one of them personally. They said, we just saw what the Bible said. They'll lay hands on these signs of follow them believe. I'm a believer. They'll lay hands on the sick. Are you called? No, I don't have any calling. You have any special anointing? If I do, I don't know it. You ever feel, now we do sometimes, feel the power of God in a special way in ministering to the sick? No. I just read the Bible to them. tell them what the Bible says. Praise God. They'll lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. And one of the men said to me, just a farmer, he said, Brother Hagin, we very seldom lost the case. That is, very seldom failed to get them healed, once in a while. And yet, he said, every single person we were ministering to was given up to die by medical science. In other words, doctors had done all they could do.
Amazing.
One thing that helped him was, this brother told me was, that the doctor, of course, you've got to realize that we're talking about back in the 20s, 1920s, early 20s, and on up. And doctors made house calls. And there's only one doctor there in East Texas over two or three counties. He is Presbyterian. His wife came down and he sent her, put her on a train, sent her to New York City. Doctor sent her back to die with terminal cancer. Well, this doctor knew that some of his patients, this Pentecostal deacon had prayed with, and known him with awe, so he asked him to come and his wife. And they came and ministered to his wife, and she is healed of terminal cancer. And so the doctor then, when any of his patients got beyond medical help, in other words, he'd done all he could do for them, he would tell them, I tell you what I'd do if it's me, I'd send for that Pentecostal deacon. And then the Presbyterian doctor would tell how his wife was healed. And so they'd send for him. Amen. So he said, I was going so much, I had to get somebody else to run the farm because I'm just going constantly almost ministering to the sick. Very seldom fail to get one of them healed. You know, any believer could do that. They just have enough courage and faith to get with it. Amen. I tell sometime about one of our faith seminars in St. Louis. We were teaching on faith twice a day, morning and night. And after one of the morning services, one lady came, shook hands with me and said, Brother Hagin, my next door neighbor is bedfast. She's been bedfast 2 full years. She's not had her foot on the floor in 2 years. The doctors have given up. In fact, doctors don't understand how she's lived. But I've been visiting her, and I've been giving her, well, we had those reel-to-reel, the big 7-inch in those days, and I played her tapes, and then I'd read to her, because she was so weak she couldn't even have, finally, some of the small books she could handle. And she said, I think I've got her ready. Would you come and lay hands on her? I said, no, ma'am. What? I said, no. You lay hands on her. Me? Yeah, you. Well, I've never laid hands on anybody. I said, by the time you started. These signs will follow them that believe. Aren't you a believer? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, I said, you're the one. She don't know me. Well, maybe she's listened to the tape, but she still doesn't know me personally. But she knows you. You've ministered to her. You go lay hands on her. I don't know whether I want to do that or not. I said, the Bible said for you to. Jesus said for you to. And I quoted the scripture again. Yeah, but I don't know. I said, well, I command you to in the name of Jesus. Well, the night service is pretty large, and I didn't locate her, but the morning class wasn't all that large, 200 or 300 people. And I located her. I mean, while I'm teaching, her face is lit up like a neon sign in the dark. I knew there's no need to ask her. I knew what happened, but she...
He knew what happened. He didn't have to ask her. But it's interesting, you know, that we're going to read some... We'll get into a little more here in the next scripture, but a lot of times we get willy-nilly with praying with people and we just automatically go and pray with them. But you noticed a lot of them, they would sit there and read to them first. Justin, y'all notice that? See, a lot of times we just want to go and pray somebody and then just bail out. I got things to do. We're on a schedule. Look, name of Jesus, amen. You're healed. I'm out. A lot of these people will go and just spend time. Brother Hagin said he spent almost six, it took him almost 6 months one time to get one lady healed. Going to her almost every other day or a few times a week and just reading healing scriptures to her for at least an hour or two. For 6 months until he was able to pray the prayer of faith and her to receive her healing. See, a lot of times it takes a little bit before somebody's there. And so if we're just constantly just wanting to pray and pray and nothing's happening, well, why do you think nothing's happening? our, obviously, if we're in faith, we know our faith works, so there's going to be a disconnect on somebody's end, and it's not on God. I'm telling you right now, God does not miss it. I just want you all to know that. God does not miss it ever. We need to understand that. God does not miss it ever. We understand that. Amen. So there's got to be a disconnect somewhere. Are we just jumping the gun? Now, I know some people will say, hey, come pray with me. You know, we'll pray with them. But do we know that sometimes they won't be healed right then? Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, to keep them staying with you, pray with them. But to be able to just keep going back to them every single day, every other day, every two or three times a week, whatever you can, to be able to read healing scriptures or buy a CD for them to listen to of just healing scriptures, to play and play and play and play. And then you won't even, they'll just call you up. Hey, guess what? You won't even have to pray. Why? Because that scripture's on the inside of them at that point. Right? Because if we actually start going off of the scripture and stop going off of what I think, the effects will be in much greater numbers. You understand that, right? These signs shall follow them that think. The way that they make it'll work, it'll work. See, that's how we've been doing it for so long. So we just kind of got in that rut and just been running the custom line. You know, well, this is how we always did it. Amen. You want, go ahead, babe. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. I'm just going to be wired for a minute. Better get you up.
Glory, glory. Okay, let's go into Mark. Let's do Mark 16. Mark 16, 17, and 18, please. Hallelujah. Let's go into 17. 15? Okay, let's go back to 15. Thank you, Diana. All right, this is Jesus, right? He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We know this one. Yeah, preach the gospel. He's going to tell us what the gospel is in a second. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let's go to the next one here. And these signs shall follow them. Who's a them? Who's a them? We're a them, right? These signs shall follow them. That's me. That's you. That believe. Are we believers? Hallelujah. In my name shall they cast out devils. Hallelujah. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Glory to God. There's a lot in that verse, but we're just going to focus right there. They, that's me, that's you, right? We're the they. They shall lay hands on the sick. What are we commanded to do? What did Jesus just command us to do? Lay hands on the sick. And what happens? They shall recover, not a maybe recover. If we're, and this was really good, I wasn't here for Sunday night service, but I've heard a lot about it. Pastor Ricky was talking about if we're not seeing our prayers answered, we need to figure out why. I mean, how many, and I can raise my hand also, how many times have we prayed over somebody and they didn't recover? We need to find out why. We need to build up ourselves. We need to get into the Word so much that that every time, something funny just popped in my head, that everywhere we go, if there is somebody that is sick, they shall recover. Can you imagine what that really looks like? Can we kind of bring it home? Hallelujah. Can I say one thing? When I looked up, I saw Brother Earl over there. I can only imagine maybe a situation at his work. He works at a hospice of maybe his bosses say, wow, we have a situation. Everywhere Earl goes, people are healed. What are we supposed to do? We're losing money here because everywhere he goes, people are healed. I mean, what if you're walking around the RV park? Wow, those ladies right there, I heard, man, every time that they keep on praying for people and they're healed. What does that look like? I mean, what does that look like? Brother Steve here works at a school for the IT department. Yeah, go see that Steve over there in the IT department. Every time he prays for somebody, someone gets healed. That's what it should look like. Isn't that what the Bible is telling us? That is literally what needs to be happening in our everyday life, just like Jesus. Amen? We're believers, and these signs shall follow them that believe. This should be an everyday occurrence. We should be known. We're a church right across from the hospital. So what if, okay, we don't have any room in the ER right now, but no, go see that church across the way. Hey, the doctors can't do anything for you, but here's a nurse whispering to somebody, go see that church across the way. They can heal you. Hallelujah. Not us, glory to God, but the glory of God, the healing power of God working in us. Hallelujah. Amen. They shall lay hands. That's us. That's me and you. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Glory to God. Did you have something?
Amen. It's y'all remember Smith Wigglesworth? You can leave it up there.
Oh.
Y'all remember Smith Wigglesworth whenever one of his friends died? And then he came home. His wife told him. And then he started heading out the door. And all of a sudden she said, Daddy, no. Why? And, you know, back then that's how they kind of talked to each other. Why? Because he knew the word. That's why. And he also knew his authority, but he also knew that if I lay my hands on the sick, they don't have a choice. They'll recover. See, but a lot of times when we go in praying for people, man, I hope they're healed when I pray. It's not how it works, but that's how a lot of people pray. And that's why there's no signs and there's no wonders. Because we go in, I hope this works. Well, God, I hope they get healed. You know, it's almost like we go in thinking that we have to heal the person we're praying for. But what if I look silly and they don't get healed? What does it have to do with you anyways? Why did you even put yourself in the picture? But Smith Wigglesworth just got up, walked out, walked next door. His friend actually died, picked him up off the bed, threw him against the wall, and I forget how he said it, but told him to come back to life. He fell down and hit the floor. What do you think he did? I guess that didn't work. And left. Picked him up again and said, I command you to live in the name of Jesus. They said that they got it. I believe it's recorded over 26 raised from the dead. Smith Wigglesworth. See, he didn't go in going, well, I hope some people recover. Because once we start actually believing, whenever we get in here and we just read the word and it says, you know what, if I lay my hands on the sick, they'll recover. Huh. Well, God said they'll recover. I don't have to do nothing. I just lay my hands on them and pray. Oh, well, I got to believe. These signs will follow me. In the name of Jesus, I'll cast out devils and speak in new tongues. I'll lay my hands on the sick and they'll recover. All right, God, up to you. Too many times we try to put it in our hands. And then we kind of mess it all up, and then it turns out to nothing really happens, and then we go, man, what happened? And then it kind of gets us questioning everything of, well, I wonder why they weren't healed. Look, there's going to be some people that just don't believe, okay? Number one, Jesus didn't heal everybody he prayed for. So why would we think that everybody we prayed for would be healed? I should have heard a way better amen than that. Because who do you think you are? Amen? There's going to be people that just don't believe. Y'all understand that? And if you don't believe me, you should read the Bible where it talks about Jesus in his hometown could do what? Except he laid his hands on a lot of people and healed them? On a few sick folk? With minor ailments? Not even with huge sicknesses, diseases, or nothing? Just like maybe a headache, a runny nose, or something? Minor ailments? Where are we at? Oh, here. Yeah, amen. Verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to a couple people. No, to every creature, right? But the next verse has got a lot to do with it. What does it say? Verse 16. See, and that's where the rubber meets the road. See, and so if they're not believing, then just keep staying with them and try to get faith on the inside of them. Don't give up. Because number one, Jesus and God didn't give up on you. Or whoever was going after you didn't give up on you. Amen? Amen. We should be way more excited about this. Because God said that we can lay our hands on the sick and they'll recover. I didn't say this. God said that we can lay our hands on the sick and they'll recover. Yes. You understand that? Yes. Turn over to And they shall recover. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received unto heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. So who's the signs going to follow? The people that believe. Say the people that believe. So if you don't believe, are the signs going to follow you? If you're questioning anything about if it's going to work or not, are the signs going to follow you? Are you sure? Because some of y'all sound like you're unsure. Are you sure? What does the Bible say? Let's read it again. Okay, so let's start at verse 15. Y'all ready? Mark 16, verse 15. Y'all ready? It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach what? The gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, it ain't gonna happen. And these signs, what signs? What are the signs? Amen. Yeah, I mean, it kind of tells us right there if you just keep on reading, talking about, you know, casting out devils, speaking with new tongues, people laying your hands on the sick, and they're recovering. You know, the miraculous. You know, miracles working. That's kind of what it's talking about, ain't it? Amen. So, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Whose name? Your name? Jesus. Whose name? Jesus. They shall cast out who? Devils. Who? Devils. So why would we be scared of somebody that Jesus gave us his name to use to cast him out? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll hurt them. They shall. Hallelujah. Shall. It's not a question. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. My tie's all messed up. Amen. I don't know if I want to say that. Amen. I don't think I will. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall. They shall. They shall. Who? Believers. Are you a believer?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
And why do you, and who do you think you are that you have the ability or the power to be able to lay hands on somebody?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Some of y'all still, you're still kind of unsure about it. Are you sure? I need y'all to see it, though, because if we're really a distribution center, it's not just a Pastor Ricky and Chelsea. It's Spirit Life. Are you part of the church?
Yes, sir.
Are you? Or are you not? See, there's some things that go along with that that I don't want to say yet. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Y'all doing all right? Because it's almost 8. Y'all, can we go a little longer? Is it all right? Good, because I'm enjoying myself. Y'all can leave. I'm going to stay right here for a minute. They shall. It's not even a question. But they shall. You know, I was listening to Dr. Jesse Duplantis. It's probably a couple years now. And he said he was going to visit somebody in the hospital one time. And he was in a waiting room. And he said it was just so, just gloom. And just everybody was so sad in there. And he said he got to laughing in the waiting room. And everybody got to looking at him. And he said he just got to laughing harder. And he said, and then all of a sudden, people just started getting healed in the hospital. Hallelujah. It's amazing what God can do when we're yieldable. But what are they going to say, though, God? You're sure you want me to walk over and lay hands on him right now in front of everybody? I'm not talking about disrupting service. I'm talking about it when you're in a grocery store or you're at work or you're, you know, at a bank or wherever. Right? Being yieldable. Right? They'll follow who? Them that believe. Are we believers?
Yes.
Amen. And we'll lay hands on the sick, and what will they do? See, that's what we need to wake up every morning and say, you know what, according to Mark 16, 15, or not 15, well, starting at 15, but Mark 15, 18 at the end, God, you said, I'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
And then not doubt it one bit. Because it was amazing to me that Brother Hagin said that he met those three individual men that had a more prominent healing, not even anointing, but just a healing ministry than any minister in that country that they were in, or in that part of the state that they were in. That was phenomenal to me, and didn't have any kind of healing anointing. No fivefold ministry. They went to church. But they, what did they do? They took God at His word. So if we take God at His word, what would we really do to Bullhead City? If we really just said, okay, God, you said. No, God, you said. What would we really do to Bullhead City? What would really happen to Bullhead City, or Laughlin, or Needles, or Kingman? What would really happen? You got something? Yeah, you do. Go ahead. Don't touch my Bible.
Can we go over to Luke 10? As you're turning there, I just want to say, they shall take up serpents. That's not just playing with deadly animals. That's if when you are in a situation,
yes,
glory
is.
To
Come
God, that
Sunday.
You have authority. You have authority over deadly things. If there's a dog running toward your child, if you went boogie boarding and you're surrounded by sharks, whatever the case may be, glory to God. We have authority over those types of things. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke 10, 1 through 17. All right, yep, we're just going to start right at the top here. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. 70. How many do we have here in this room? I wonder if we have 40. Okay, so the Lord appointed other 70 also, and they sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Let's go down to number two, and I'm going to find it in my Bible because that one's hard to read back there for some reason.
It's King James.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Then he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. How many feel like that nowadays? Carry neither money bag, knapsack, sandal. Greet no one along the road, but wherever house you enter, peace to this house. And he goes on from here. I wanted to say, this is Jesus speaking, and he's sending out 70 other people. God has commanded us, hallelujah, and we are also being sent out, glory to God. So it doesn't matter. He didn't send he sent the disciples also, but these are normal people. He didn't say, okay, only the anointed ones over here on this side, but not these people over here. No, he sent them all. He sent those 70 out. So going back to the idea of they shall lay hands on the sick, amen, and they shall recover, glory to God. So he sent out 70, amen. Let's go to James 5:14. Hallelujah. James 5:14. If any among you sick, is any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And let's go to the next one. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Hallelujah. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Glory to God. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. This verse says, elders, that somebody that is seasoned in their faith, that somebody that knows the word concerning praying for the sick. This is somebody that knows what God has told us and is doing it. This is what elder here means. This is me, this is you, this is somebody that knows the word of God. Amen? Let him call for the elders. Okay, go back a little bit, please. Oh, raise him up. Yes, let's go back to the front. 14. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elder of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go to the next one. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Hallelujah. I just want to remind you guys, begging isn't faith. Oh God, if this is your will, please, please. No, that is not faith. That is not the prayer of faith, okay? That is not what you do when we pray, and it is not what we do when we pray to over somebody that's sick, okay? Begging is not faith. And know what? The Holy Spirit's going to start reminding you guys every time we pray, every time something pops up, am I begging or is this faith? Is this begging or is this faith? Can I say crying isn't faith, okay? Crying, sometimes we have a deep compassion of what's happening or that kind of feeling. And yes, because I'm a woman, I know that, yes, there's tears that come out. But there's a difference between crying and begging and moaning and complaining, that kind of situation, compared to praying in faith. Amen. So if you're crying out of that circumstance, that is not faith. Amen? Feeling bad for the situation isn't faith. Hoping and wishing, like Pastor Ricky said, isn't faith. Glory to God. We need to know these things, because when we're called upon to be able to pray over someone that is sick, glory to God, we're going to pray that prayer of faith that will save the sick. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord will raise him up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, it's a command. It is something that will happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. That is all I had for that. The 72 and then praying.
Let me look it up real fast. James 5. I was going to read it out of the Amplified Classic and the Passion. Classic said, is anyone among you sick? He should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick. And the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess one to another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another. For who? One another. One another. It doesn't say nothing about go get your pastor, go get an apostle, go get a prophet, does it? Are y'all sure?
Yes.
Are y'all positive?
Yes.
Amen. I agree. It doesn't say that. So, and I forget where the scripture's at, but it says by two or three witnesses will every word be established.
Yes.
Right? And so we already gave y'all, this is like the third one.
Yes, sir.
So we're being scriptural by this point.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. I could have just gave y'all two and stayed scriptural.
Yeah.
Amen. So one for another, that you may be healed and restored. Healed and restored.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like the end of it. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic. Dynamic and it's working. Amen. I agree. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Passion says, are there any sick among you? And then ask the elders of the church to come pray over the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of our Lord. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. And if they committed sin, they will be forgiven. It's just simple. There's no questions. There's no if, ands, or buts. It says, look, if there's any sick, get the elders of the church. Get somebody. Have them anoint them with oil. Prayer of doubt and unbelief. The prayer of what? The prayer of what? The prayer of what? What will it do? What will it do? Are you sure? It'll heal the sick. And who'll raise them up? So then why would we go into any situation doubting that it's going to happen, thinking that we're going to have to raise them up or heal them, whenever the scripture says that God will raise them up and that God will heal them? I don't have to heal them. He told me to lay hands on them, anoint them with oil and pray, and he'll heal them. Not my job to. So that I don't even have to worry about. So why try to even carry something that's not, doesn't even belong to me? Here in James, in the King James, it says, and you know, the prayer of faith will save the sick. I looked that up in the Strong's. It means whole. Yes. That means nothing missing. Yes. Yes. Amen. And we could read about Stephen over in Acts 6:8. Yeah, let's read about him real fast. Go over to Acts. Did we already read that? Go over to Acts, please. Yes, ma'am. I'm hurrying. Excuse me. Acts 6:8. It says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. In verse 8 it says, and Stephen, full of faith, and what? Did great wonders and miracles. Among who? Was he an apostle or anything? He waited tables. He waited tables. But yet, it says he's full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. Why do you think that happened? Probably just took God at his word. Probably just took God at his word. Amen. So if anybody wants hands laid on them, now would be a great time for that. Amen.
Pastor?
Yes.
Can I share something before we
Yeah. Go? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. I keep saying yeah, and you just keep staring at me.
So this must have been for this time. I sit in an office at work, and there's other people in this office. There's a woman who sits in this office, works in with billing and orders and things like that. And a week ago, Monday, she came in. And the night before, she had broke a tooth off, and she was in deep pain. So she's been, I would say she's been whining, crying for a couple weeks about how much money she's going to have to spend on her mouth. And then this tooth broke all of a sudden, and she's in just deep pain. You know, so she's in. She's not doing well. And so I went over to her, and I just said, let me pray for you. She's not a Christian. I don't even know if she, I don't know where she is. I mean, I've talked to her, but, you know, she's not a Christian. But so I just said, Let me lay my hands on you and just pray for you real quick, okay? Laid my hands on her and I prayed for her. She said, thank you. Said, you're welcome. I left. I think I had to go out and visit, right? Next day I come in, there's this big smile on her face. She's not hurting anymore. She said, you know what happened? yesterday in the mail. No, it wasn't in the mail. Yesterday, Social Security called me. They made a $3,000 mistake, and they just put $3,000 back in my account. Overnight, because of my prayer, well, not because of my prayer, but because of what God did, because of what God can do, He touched her tooth, and He gave her the money to afford to get her dental work taken care of. But that's not the best part about this. The best part about this is she's going around the office telling everybody in the office how powerful prayer is. Amen. That's the best part about it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's true. Hallelujah. That's excellent. I love that.
Oh. Just quick. When he's talking about the prayer of faith, right, call for the elders. I was listening to somebody, Keith Moore was describing Kenneth E. Hagin. He's laying bedfast. He can't move, right? He's called for the elders of the church, but none of the elders at that time in his area believed in it. So they wouldn't come. They basically said, you're going to die. The doctor said you're going to die. So they wouldn't come. And so he's laying there thinking, what am I going to do? And God told him, did it say that the oil would heal you or the prayer of faith would heal you? So he didn't even need that them to come and anoint him. That's not the point. The point is, if they come to anoint you, they're going to tell you the word. They're going to speak to you. They're going to tell you what the word says. But if you already know that prayer of faith, so next time you're in a situation that you maybe can't get that, prayer of faith will do it for you.
Amen. Amen. Anybody want hands laid on them? Now is a great opportunity. I was waiting for you. Because I got some scriptures to read to you. Amen. God gave them to me at the beginning of church for you. Hang on, I need that for a second. Please. Amen. Here, come on this side so you can read them with me. Come on this side so you can read them with me. Yes, sir. That'll work. We're going to look at Genesis 1 real fast. Genesis 1, 1 and 2, it says, and in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, right? But right here it says, and God said. That's when he released his faith. His faith was released out of his mouth. It's like a subsonic sound whenever we speak the words of faith, because that faith will move through that wall. It's like a subsonic sound. It's like a EMT. You know, electric magnetic pulse, right? Ain't that... It'll make helicopters and everything because it's a shock wave that'll go out. Or have you ever been around a big bomb go off?
Dynamite.
There you go. Have you felt that wave just kind of go through you? See, faith will do that same. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's exactly what God did. He spoke it. Right? Didn't he? Because he said, and God said. How do you think this everything was created? Spoke it. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. Look, everybody in the line, y'all can receive this as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, verse 3, right here, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And see, that was the faith spoken words, the words of faith spoken out, which created everything that we're in right now. They said that the galaxy right now is actually still continually being made. So that means that his faith words that he spoke over 2,000 years ago are still continually moving, creating. Still continually moving and creating. So that means faith-filled words will go through your body and destroy that thing. I'm telling you. 2 Corinthians 4, hallelujah, 4:13, it says, we having, what do we have? We have the same spirit of faith, hallelujah, according it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, amen. Amen. We have the same spirit of faith that God created the world with.
Amen.
We have the same measure that he used to create this world. Amen. We have it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And so, Kidney Stone, we curse you right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we command you to dissolve.
Yes.
We command you to break up right now in the name of Jesus and to no longer exist from this moment forward. And Father God, we thank you for it. We praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's done. It is done because I thank you, Father God, we spoke the command of faith. And the faith-filled words were able to go through and dissolve it.
Amen.
And to break it up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
We thank you, Father God, for it.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. How many of y'all got your answers? Amen. I should have heard every one of y'all say I did. Amen. Amen. I really should have heard every one of y'all say amen. I'm serious, because as soon as you pray, it's amen and so be it. Right? Because if you believe, amen and so be it. Correct? Amen. Because if we lay our hands on the sick, what are they going to do? Exactly. So, how many of y'all got your answer?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody, right? That needed prayer or whatever they needed, they got their answer. Amen. Amen. So I'll go ahead and pray and dismiss. Amen. Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for your word this evening. We thank you, Father God, that we'll just continue to grow in it, meditate on it. And I thank you, Father God, that we won't allow this to just be stolen. Hallelujah. Not only the word, but whatever answer that we received this evening. I thank you, Father God, that we'll just continue to move forward with it, and we'll continue to see signs and wonders. And we'll continue to lay hands on the sick, and I thank you, Father God, they will recover. They will recover. Because of you, Father, because of your word, not because of any one of us, but because you gave us the command, and so then it's on you. It's your responsibility to heal them, not mine. Hallelujah. We just speak the command of faith, and we believe, they believe, and then you heal them. And we thank you for it, Father God. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it, and everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.